Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Gut, 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 gut. Ho, hi there. Didn't see you looking. Kevin Goatee here, gutting the sacred cow. Yepers, back again. New episode. You know the drill, but guess who returns this week? Jen Eckhart. Remember her? Oh, she's that lass who tried to take a run at the castle and try and take down Toy Story. Wow, but let's give her credit. She wants to come back on and take on the 80s darling of them all, and that is The Breakfast Club. Before we get to it, make sure you give our sponsor a go. Give athleticgreens.com/GTSC a shot. You get some free stuff while doing so. And never forget guttingthesacredcow.com, where you get blogs every single day. And of course, the merch store is always open 24/7, 366. Is there 365? Just kidding, 365. Haha. Just seeing if you're paying attention. And guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com if you want to advertise with us. And no more holdup. Let's see if Jen Eckhart can send the Breakfast Club to detention.
Gather round, here's what I know.
Well, now let's not go sucking each other's dicks quite yet. Kevin Israel named that film.
That one I know I should know, but
fucking better should know that one.
Bro, my brain is shot.
No. We all have kids.
I can't.
You need to start doing cocaine before our show is a perk up. How about a musical hint? Pulp Fiction, where he's in the...
Pulp Fiction.
I can't believe it's the same car. Well, let's not go sucking each other's dicks quite yet. Kevin Goatee, Kevin Israel, back again with Kevin Israel's child brain fog still lurking about in the old noggin. And this week, we welcome back a fan favorite.
Oh,
just kidding. She's public enemy number one after going after Toy Story, which caught massive piles of shit for her attack on a most sacred of cows. And boy, she came this fight with a back scratcher and left ionized. But here she is, reconstituted. Jen Eckhart, everybody. Say hi, Jen. How are you?
Well, thanks. Thanks for that intro, Kevin. Really appreciate that. Fan favorite. And to public enemy number one. Yeah. So, thank you.
We like to throw the old deuce around here, the old curveball. Jen has chosen a film that came out. I think you did tell me how old you are, but I'm going to guess that it came out a good 7 years after you were born. That film is 1985's The Breakfast Club. Am I right in my guess?
I was born 1990.
Oh, it's 2 years old.
Oh, my God.
Right? Right? Wait, Israel.
I was a freshman in high school.
I know, me too. Wait, Israel, this is going to make even more bad shit. I was at the gym today and they had on Sports Center and they said Patrick Mahomes was born like September 15th.
Don't do what you're about to do.
1999, he was born. Oh, motherfucker! I graduated college 5 months before, 4 months before. Jen Eckhart has chosen the absolute 80s darling, The Breakfast Club, a budget at the time of $1 million, a box office haul of $51.5 million. Turn that into 2022 money, a $2.6 million budget, a box office haul of $136.3 million. That is some serious fucking ROI, folks.
Yeah, it is.
Damn that John Hughes. Is he not a wizard with the pen?
He really is.
Marketing, or is he? IMDb, Jen Eckhart, as you know, is a scale 1 through 10 with decimal points. What did The Breakfast Club accrue on the old IMDb?
Oh, gosh. Do I have time to Google really quick? You always ask me this.
No. Oh, guess it.
We always ask you it because it's a segment of the podcast.
IMDb, I'm going to say, I don't know. People go crazy over this movie, and I don't understand it for the life of me.
We'll get into it. Just give us a number.
Go with like an 8.9.
Okay, 9. Kevin Israel.
Okay.
8.3.
7.8.
That's fair.
Rotten Tomatoes, 1 through 100 score. Critics, Kevin Israel, Breakfast Club. Step up to the plate, pal.
72.
Jen Eckhart. Critics.
Critics? Jeez. 78?
89. That's higher than I really, really would have guessed.
Rotten Tomatoes audience score, Jen Eckhart. What do you think The Breakfast Club got?
I'd say 82.
Kevin Israel.
See, I know I'm going to be wrong, but if the critics gave this an 89, the audience, this is a hugely popular with the people. So I'm going to say 92.
One of you is dead nuts on. And that is the person who is wearing as many necklaces as Mr. T, Kevin Israel.
I pity the fool.
92 on the. Yeah, I'm surprised. Like, that's an easy one. Like, if the critics love it, you know the audience is fucking gaga over this. Quotes? Did your mom marry Mr. Rogers? No, Mr. Johnson. That was great deadpan humor. I laughed out loud. You wasteoid. You're not going to blaze up in here. So we're just going to eschew all the old jokes. Kevin, did they add oid to every like negative term you could think of in the 80s as a term of an insult? Wasteoid, freakoid.
I don't know if they actually did or if John Hughes just heard it said once and was like, that's how the kids talk.
All right. I mean, wasteoid, freakoid. I heard all that shit. Oid was big.
Yeah.
And my favorite line of the film, which again, I fucking laughed out loud. I'm not a slut. I'm a compulsive liar. That's great. Kevin Israel, how about some quotes?
I just had one that got me. Does Barry Manilow know you raided his wardrobe?
I debated about that one. But that joke's been done so many different times, so many different ways. I mean, I heard it originally. Oh, where'd you go? Liberace's closet? Like, all right. So
I know, but when he walked in, I was like, what is he, a used car salesman? He looks like a cheap pimp. And then he said that, and I was like, oh, I guess I'm right in line with what they were thinking.
Yeah, when you say cheap, used car salesman, I think of, and no better person at it, Bill Paxton, True Lies. The vet keeps him wet.
By the way, you're never going to a car lot and getting to test drive a 1964 Corvette. That's never happening in a million years.
I can't wait till someone does True Lies on this podcast so Kevin Israel can bust that with his weeks. That doesn't happen. How about you, Jen Eckhart? Got a quote from this puppy?
I actually do, and I hate that I do. There was one quote I thought that was kind of funny. It was when the principal was like, I make $31,000 a year, yeah, home, and I'm not about to throw it away for a punk like you. And I was like, oh, money back over here.
Had that as a note.
I have that as a note, too. Would you care to know what $31,000 was back in 1985?
I was going to do that, too, but I knew you would, so lay it on us.
$82,000 in today's time.
That's still, I feel like a principal gets paid more than that.
You know, here's a, we'll get into it, but.
Principals are in the low six figures.
Right. I thought he was a teacher because, well, I'll get into it in a minute. I'll tell you why. Okay. Five fun facts.
Five fun facts. Five fun facts for you right now. It's time for five fun more facts. Five fun facts for you right now.
Before the film got its iconic Breakfast Club title, a couple of other ideas had been thrown out. Rejected title ideas included on the nose, Library Revolution, and The Rhymey, The Lunch Bunch.
The Lunch Bunch?
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
How about The Winner's Dinner? Was that not taken?
And you kind of got to wonder, like, if they picked one of those terrible names, would it have changed the outcome of the movie? The success of the movie.
Adam Carolla does it best. And this is actually one of my notes. I don't care. I'll do it. He goes, this is the perfect instance where the title was thought of before the film came out.
Yeah.
Like The Breakfast Club. This is what's going to happen. Number two, before Molly Ringwald landed the role of the snobby rich girl, Claire, was she that snobby? I didn't know. Laura Dern, Jodie Foster, and Robin Wright were all considered for the role. Brooke Shields.
How we're not, sorry, I have to interrupt here.
Go ahead.
The fact that none of those women were cast and Molly Ringwald was cast over them, that blows my mind. Continue.
Brooke Shields was in talks to play Allison, and the Daily Beast, Kevin Israel, you guessed this. One of these two guys up for the role of Judd Nelson's Bender role. One very big in the 80s, one huge 90s. I think you get the 80s one. I really do. If you think about the everything involved, all the components of this film.
Judd Nelson's character?
Yeah.
Tom Cruise.
No, not a bad guess. The one I thought you would get was John Cusack.
Oh, yeah.
And Nick Cage. I mean,
oh, that would have been such a better movie.
Right?
You know that I found out recently if that Nick Cage is not his real name?
Yeah, he's a...
No, you don't say.
It's his Hollywood stage name. He's an Italian guy. I had no idea.
Wait. Wait. You motherfucker, you took it right out of my mouth. He's not just an Italian guy. He's an Italian guy royalty in Hollywood.
He's a Coppola.
Yeah.
His
uncle wrote The Fucking Godfather. No, he did. Or directed The Godfather. I wrote it. Directed it. I'm serious.
Is he not proud of his Italian lineage? Why did he change it to Cage?
Easy answer is to prevent nepotism.
I want to break free.
Fair question.
Let's ride. You like that call? You like the pull, Kevin? I knew you'd get that one.
That's
the worst.
Such a bad, bad movie.
It is. That's gone in 60 seconds, Jen. Don't rush. It's not worth it. Angelina Jolie is a blonde. It doesn't work for me.
Oh, so bad.
Oof.
But
got
a lot of cars, so I like it. Anyway, go on.
I know that's your bailiwick. He may have still been able to audition, but Judd's method acting on set almost led him to be fired during mid-production. Molly Ringwald said that Judd was teasing her on set, as Bender would declare. And that John Hughes got upset. John was extremely protective of me, and it just infuriated him. And he almost fired him, and we all banded together and really talked John out of firing Judd.
Hmm.
What kind of parent decides, you know what? I don't want this fucking kid. Judd, that's your name now. Just drop him off at a firehouse and then save him the embarrassment of an adult later on in life. For fans who wanted to know what happened on Monday when all the kids had to go back to school together, guess what? There was supposed to be a sequel to this film.
No way.
And it was going to be into the future and a bit with the kids' lives. In 2005, Emilio Estevez was reportedly attached to the sequel that John Hughes was writing, but John Hughes died in 2009. Obviously, no sequel has been made.
So sad.
So wait, but did they ever reveal what the plot was going to be?
No.
Sons of bitches.
I think we're all better for that, Kevin.
Well, now I want to know.
John Hughes, too easy of a shoe in for, never mind. John Hughes considered one, two. Yeah. Actually, this is one of the people that you did get. Considered Tom Cruise. All right. Michael J. Fox. All right. Matthew Broderick. Believable. Rob Lowe. Wheelhouse. And this name made me sip and go, get the fuck out of here. Ready? Jim Carrey for the role of Andrew Clark, the wrestler.
What?
Oh, man. I feel like if he was cast, I would have loved the movie.
Hey, no way, Stuart. You're not going to blaze up in here. All righty, then.
The pen is blue.
It's I guarantee you he would not say if Molly Ringwald was on set, smoking.
Oh, jeez.
Right? Jen, they'd the face. Because we all, by the way, she looks much, much, much better as an older woman.
She does. She does.
And also for the role of.
She's got the Benjamin Button thing going on, you know?
Same thing as Elizabeth Shue. What is it with these 80s actresses just becoming these beautiful butterflies much, much later
in life? Blossoming later in life.
Actually, Elizabeth Shue we just did Leaving Las Vegas. I mean, she was a smoke show in the 90s and then even still now in her 50s. Get ready for this, Kevin Israel. One guess. Mega hit and the mega star in the 80s. Guess who's considered for the role of Carl the janitor? Mega huge comedy actor.
Oh, comedy actor. Ah.
I might have narrowed it down for you too much.
Bill Murray.
I like where your head is. Jen, you got a guess?
Well, I was actually going to say Bill Murray.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chevy Chase.
John Candy.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
was his part that funny though?
No, it wasn't. Not at all. Which is why it makes it a perfectly good casting, because you're wasting John Candy. They saved him for the polka guy in Home Alone, as well as Planes, Trains. All right. And now it's time for our segment, which I'm sure Jen, I know, and I know she has. She's seen it because she's answered a few. Ask a Gutter.
Ask a Gutter. Gotta ask a gutter.
Brandon Oglesby, Newark Knights. For Jen, I know KG is going to come for Breakfast Club with both barrels and Uzi and a hand grenade. So I'll just ask, which high school archetype were you? And could you hold your smoke?
Yeah, I'll answer that. So I was a bit of a oddball. I was kind of like a unicorn in high school. No, because I was cheerleading captain.
No, you weren't. No, you weren't. Yep. This is what. Nope. Nope. Stop talking.
I love stereotypes.
Not done.
Nope. No. See, here's the thing.
Fire nerd. I was a theater geek, and I was also
checks out
president.
But the here's the thing.
Floater. I didn't subscribe to any.
Yeah, I know. That's what every popular girl says.
She's Reese Witherspoon in Election.
Every popular girl is like, I liked everybody. I hung out with everybody. Everybody liked me. I was friends with everybody and blah, 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 blah. Because you had such a good time because you were popular.
No,
so it was easy to have this inflated view of yourself.
I was bullied. There was a mean girl.
I'm sure it was very hard. Yeah,
let's hear this horseshit story.
Let's all start we're going to have a march outside your high school.
There's always a mean girl clique in every high school. I was not a part of it. And like, I still hate mean girls to this day. I'm a girl's girl. So, and by the way, I responded to that tweet, Kevin Goatee, saying, if you're bringing a hand grenade, I'm bringing a nuclear bomb. So strap in.
You said that last time, and look what happened. You left as a cloud of dust. Next. For Jenna, even if you hate the Breakfast Club, can you at least admit that the theme song by Simple Minds is great for karaoke?
Yes, but the Don't You Forget About Me song. Like, I wish I could forget I ever saw this movie. So
I see.
That's where I stand on that.
Okay. Fair.
All right. John D at JLED's. Have to agree with the Breakfast Club. Massively overrated, shallow, overall exhausting. So my only question for that would be, what is the worst thing Jennifer did in school that she may or may not have received detention for? I'm going to cut you off. There's no way in hell you got detention.
You know, I
nope. Nerd.
No, I actually did.
I mean, chewing gum in class.
Innocuous. Yeah, no, it was literally for like talking in class. Like Like I was talking to somebody. I know. Ooh.
Living on the edge.
No, but the teacher was just trying to be an asshole. She was just she was power hungry and was like, ha ha, look at the student council president. And
the teacher doesn't like me because I'm prettier than her.
I'm going to give that girl a detention. It's going to ruin her whole week.
Yeah, it's still in her permanent record.
I think about
Ev, what was the best thing you got detention for?
Oh, my God.
Kevin's like, carry the one.
Oh. Seventh grade biology. This is a classic. Seventh grade biology. We get to dissect things, right? And I said, we got to dissect frogs. And what did we do?
Never understood this. Like, why do we do this? But
it's kind of cool. So we, of course, my buddy and I, who should have been a comic as well, we take the probe, which is just a long, it's like a harpoon, like a mini harpoon. And we put it the frog's ass. We swung it around. And then I took what I did was I snipped out the small intestines because you had to cut out the organs. And I snipped it and I took like the forceps and I squeezed out all the shit that was left in the intestine. I go, stuff doesn't smell as bad as Mr. Moore's breath. And the entire class cracked up. And they go, he goes, goatee, that's good. In school. I go, all right. I mean, I guess I have to. But my buddy, I have to give.
You really are Sid from Toy Story.
No, I don't blow up toys.
No, but that's like a serial killer move, though, too. I feel like that's something he would do.
My favorite ever, my buddy, John Greco, he had the best reason ever to get detention. This is when you were in English class. This is eighth grade English, Mr. Tease. He would go, we were like pluralizing, like if a word ended in F-E to V-E-S. So he'd go, all right, John, why don't you take some of these? He goes, okay, knife, knives, leaf, leaves, queef, queeves. And he goes, out. Goofaw, that was great. Israel, what about you? What did you get detention for? Too many Dungeons and Dragons games in the back of classrooms when the teacher was talking?
I put a kid in the hospital for rupturing his spleen.
Oh, that's right. That's a kid who called you a Jew or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
I was not expecting that.
That was not detention. That was suspension.
Yeah, it was a suspension.
Yeah.
Hardcore. You're the bad boy.
No, I was a band nerd, but he just pissed me off. And I had enough. It was my breaking point.
Jew smash! Ah! Excellent. Next question. That was a nice little walk down, tangent down memory lane. I like that, Kevin. Good job. Let's see. Lord Snurts, no questions this week, but Breakfast Club looks like trash based on the trailer. Eric 4953. Wow, Breakfast Club. I used to like that movie, but I also like He-Man and Transformers 2 when I was a kid. Eric, don't we all still? Eric says that movie is full of that doesn't happen. Taping someone's butt will get you arrested, not detention. All that smoke in a school and no fire alarm, plus the smell. More of a statement, but okay.
By the way, somebody said they watched the trailer for this movie.
Yes.
If you ever want to really enjoy yourself, just go watch old movie trailers.
Oh, my God.
It's so bizarre that that was how they were marketed.
4.5 minutes they were.
Yeah.
And they told you the entire fucking story.
Yeah, right. The voiceover just telling you the whole movie.
Dude, I watched it again recently because when I was on Schulte's show, he's like, you got to watch the Batman trailers. I go, I have the movie like 18 different ways. The 89 Batman I'm talking
about.
Yeah. He's like, watch those trailers. They tell you might as well go, I just saved myself $450 back in 1989.
You know why they had to do that? Because nobody knew who the Batman was. And the only thing they knew him was the old 70s show, 60s show. So they specifically had to go out of their way to make people, the audience, understand that this was not that.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't campy. Confounded. Yeah. The batteries are dead. Let's see. Next one. Oh, Delvin Cox. We did Jaws last week. You son of a bitch. How do you feel now after that raping we gave you? Delvin wants to know. I have a question. And this is a good one. Who would you cast in a modern remake of the film, and who would you change to make it better? If you say Rebel Wilson, you're out.
What about Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
He needs the work.
He's not doing anything. He's available.
He could be the janitor. And go, this is what happens after you make a successful show and a mega successful film.
So good. Like his resurgence. Like, hey, guys, just like sweeping the floor.
He shows up, and he looks at the camera and kind of goes like, you don't know. And then the chyron at the bottom says, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, kids. He was in Home Improvement and the voice of Simba. And that's it. It freezes and it cuts to whatever else is going on. That's how I would do it if I was a director. All right, let's start off. Claire, give me like a couple of choices. You have to pick, you know, whatever. Claire, who would you have as Claire? Molly Ringwald's character. Jen.
Oh, you're asking me. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, the second
I wish you just let that silence go. I was willing to just sit with it.
Kevin, it's been 30 minutes since we started. We have to move this along.
I would cast literally any woman you mentioned. Robin Wright, I think, was one of them. She's fantastic.
No, he means in a current remake.
Oh, a current. Well, she's still great, actually. Current.
I think she's too old to play high school senior.
This movie so much with like a burning passion that like I don't even want them to remake. Like the thought of them remaking it makes me want to projectile vomit.
Caddyshack, I agree with you. Don't ever remake it.
You know who they would cast? They would cast Reese Witherspoon, 100%.
She's too old. She's way too old.
Kevin, she's going to be in the Legally Blonde 3 coming out. Like, trust me.
Yeah, but she's not playing a high school fucking senior. She was a lawyer, for Christ's sakes, in that film. You're not in high school.
I'm a lawyer.
Yeah.
Looks good.
But I never saw either of those films, so... Reese, okay. Well, just for time's sake, give me Emilio Estevez's role.
Oh, I know. The guy from the kid from Twilight, Jacob. That kid.
He needs to work too.
Yeah, he does. He does. He needs to keep his shirt on.
Werewolf.
Yes.
Did you say he needs to keep his shirt on?
What did I say?
You said on. I go, you must not think he's handsome. I go, all right. Well, I guess she's not a fan, but maybe he was acting.
Every he's got a pig nose. Scene, he's taking his shirt
and
off.
Pig face.
Just so funny.
I call it the Renee Zellweger who farted face, where it's always the, like she walked into a fart cloud. That's Renee Zellweger's face. Especially now. Oof. Someone got a little too liberal with the plastic surgery. Her and Courtney Cox, eesh. They should file for malpractice. Okay. Next, Ally Sheedy's role.
Sorry, that's like the misfit, right? Like the fucking crazy,
the burnout.
Like the Captain Crunch, Captain Crunch sandwich girl.
This is tough.
Oh, I know Zendaya. I'm watching Euphoria right now. Yeah. Because she'll be like messy and she'll get all into character. Like she'll get into it.
I'm so not into her. I don't get her at
all. Like diversity. Hello. There's all white people in this movie.
We'll get to it. And the last character, of course, is Bender, Judd Nelson. Who would you have for him?
Oh, God. Can't stand that character.
You would totally have sex with him at prom.
Zac Efron. Did we both say Zac Efron? Hold on.
No. I said you'd totally have sex with him at your prom. That's what I said.
That's just nasty.
And how about the principal? I forgot to mention him. Who would you have as a principal?
Is the principal from Saved by the Bell still alive? Is he still around?
Barely. He's in bad shape. He looks like he's a snake that's molting his skin like mid process. He looks awful. Building.
Maybe not him then. I tried.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Carrey.
Oh, that'd be great. And I'm going to come in here and start cracking some skulls.
Yeah, right. All righty then.
Yeah. Holy Testicle Tuesday. Why is the door open? Before we get to my notes, Kevin, let's talk about our sponsor, our pal, our buddies over at Athletic Greens. God damn, that is some good stuff. Kevin, you know why I love it? Actually, you know what? Forget why I love it. Why do you love Athletic Greens so much?
I love it because unlike every other supplement on the market, it actually tastes good.
Right.
That's such a random thing to have. And since you're drinking it first thing in the morning, you don't want to drink some nasty, chalky mess. It actually tastes good. It tastes like it's doing something good for you. And it works. I substitute my morning coffee for the cold glass. And I feel good. I feel like I'm starting off my morning right, healthy, gut health, mind health. It does it all. And it works.
It does work. It does optimize your gut health, which I'm a big, big fan of. I've been on it now for about a little over a month. And it doesn't taste super healthy. It doesn't taste like someone just had a hobo ring a sock over a cup of water. This tastes pretty damn decent. You're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, adaptogens to help start your day right. The best thing about it, I think, it's also lifestyle-friendly. If you're keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, contains less than a gram of sugar. Jen Eckhart, how much do you think a serving of Athletic Greens cost for one day? Give me a number. If you had to put a dollar amount on it.
Athletic greens.
Yeah, you mix in your water. You got to try it. It's good. How much do you think it costs a day?
$2 a day.
I like the way your head is. It's less than $3 a day. Someone gets both showcases. I love asking the guests this question because they're so unsuspecting. And they go, wait, me? I'm getting called on? Athletic Greens founder created this when he experienced a ton of gut health issues, and he's decided to do his own supplement routine. In the beginning, it cost him $100 a day. This is less than $3 a day, and you're investing in all-in-one nutritional insurance. It has over 7,000 five-star reviews. Now, the best part about it is, Jen Eckhart, you get, when you order it from athleticgreens.com/GTSC, you're going to get a year supply free of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs. Gutting the Sacred Cow loves to promote athleticgreens.com/GTSC, athleticgreens.com/GTSC for a year supply of free vitamin D and five free travel packs. Thank you, Athletic Greens. Kevin Israel, it's now time to see if Jen can, I know, it's to see if she can go out and get that monkey off her back, her 0 for 1 slide. Can she break out of it? It's time for Jen Eckhart 2.
I got that.
Gut.
Sacred cow.
All right. I'd rather go spend a Saturday in detention somewhere at a school than be forced to sit down and watch this movie again. I'm not even joking. Like,
coming,
I would
out hot.
I would literally go to a public school, sit there for an entire afternoon, then sit down and watch this. The fact that I couldn't even find it on any streaming platform and actually had to pay $3.99 to rent it on Amazon Prime, I'm going to write a strongly worded letter to Jeff Bezos demanding my $3 back.
So you're the one going to Amazon one-star reviews and doing that. You're the
your viewers and listeners something. This movie, The Breakfast Club, isn't even worth 25 cents of your time. Okay. Oh. This movie is so bad that even actress Molly Ringwald herself agrees with how bad the film is and that it didn't age well. Yep. Don't give me that look, Kevin.
Where'd she see this? I didn't know that.
She wrote an op-ed in The New Yorker after sitting down and watching it with her daughter years later and was embarrassed by the film. She explained that scene where Bender not only peeks up the character's skirt, but also touches her inappropriately. When she doesn't consent and calls him an asshole, he responds, "Sue me." She should sue him. She actually should sue him. In fact, that would have made for a much more interesting plot line than whatever garbage the movie was. Because honestly, I don't even know what happened in the movie. Like, a friend of mine who hadn't seen the film goes, "Well, what happens in The Breakfast Club?" I'm like, "They go to detention." And they're like, "Well, that's it." I'm like, "Yeah." Like that, there's no real beginning, middle, and end here. But anyway, so The Breakfast Club, this is kind of disconcerting, but they actually had to hire an adult woman for the shot of Claire's underwear. They couldn't even ask Molly Ringwald to do it because it wasn't permitted by law to ask a minor.
She was 16 when she filmed this. By the way, she's 16. She looks 20 fucking 7 here in this film.
Fair, by the way, fair.
Thank you.
But I mean, the scene stayed and, you know, obviously Bender sexually harassing her throughout the film, you know, goes on his little rage, you know, with his vicious contempt, calling her pathetic, mocking her as a queenie. I mean, anyway, Molly Ringwald even went on to write an essay detailing her many experiences of, you know, sexual harassment and assault over her acting career spanning 4 decades. And look, like, I get it. I mean, you know, and I appreciate and her sentiment and her coming forward and speaking up. But all that aside, Molly is an absolute train wreck of an actress. I'm just going to put it out there. Like, absolutely terrible. I was a theater geek in high school. I hated 16 Candles. I hated Pretty in Pink. And surprise, surprise, hated The Breakfast Club. Second point, the movie is insanely casually homophobic. Like, you alluded to, like, the fag thing on the locker. Didn't sit well with me. Like, didn't find it funny. like, I'd laugh. Like, I love, who didn't love locker graffiti growing up? But like, I just didn't find the humor in that. And then like one of the characters was making fun of the wrestler rolling around on the mat with other guys. Like, dude, what do you have against wrestling? Emilio Estevez's confusing jock look when the character, what's her name? Help me out. Help me out, Kevin.
Claire?
No, the kind of the messy girl who got the makeover.
The freak. Ally
Sheedy. That's all I know her by.
The messy girl.
Well, she's messy. She's kind of like a misfit, like all over the place. You know, she has this makeover. And I mean, come on. Are we really supposed to believe that Emilio was like, all of a sudden, like entranced with like this woman, like, oh my God, she put on some lipstick. Like,
oh, look who's the mean girl. Look who's the mean girl now.
No, actually the opposite, because I think that they should have, I liked her messy, her whole appearance, because that's what made her. And what they're really trying to say is, hey girl, you just need a little bit of lipstick and you're good to go. Like, no, dude, conformity sucks. Like, that's what made her character cool, was because she was just such an oddball.
Says the girl with all the lipstick and makeup on right now. Conformist.
Such a conformist. It really pissed me off though. Yeah. Because it's like, oh my God. Like, he just started noticing her and like, really, you expect me to believe there's a romance brewing between you two? Give it a rest. All right. So the last 5 minutes of the movie, after hating each other so much, they have some weird, like, heart to heart, like everyone bonds over their collective weird daddy issues. You both know that's true, by the way. Like, everyone in that film, daddy issues. And we're supposed to believe that Molly Ringwald and Judd Nelson consensually wish to get together. Sorry, don't believe it. Do not believe it. If a woman who was not just like minutes before almost getting sexually taken advantage of decides to get with like that person, like her abuser, I find this extremely problematic. And then, of course, not to even mention the complete lack of a story that pervades for an hour and a half before. I mean, nothing happens in this film. Literally nothing happens. If you want to watch some great films about like teenage rebellion, like Footloose, like The Hunger Games, Alone, 13, 10 Things I Hate About You, even The Outsiders, this film freaking blows. Like, honestly, I will never get that hour and a half back of my, I will never get that time back in my life. And yeah, by the way, I thought she looked perfectly fine before the makeover. By the way, and in the end, the nerd does everyone's work by writing the essay, and he's the only one who doesn't get the girl in the end. What's that? What is that?
How do you know they didn't have a three-way out in the football field after the detention was over?
Is that what happened in the sequel? I don't know. He did go like do the fist pump while walking out on.
No, that was Bender.
Yeah, that was Bender.
That was Bender. That was the nerd got picked up by his mom. Or yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, a bonus fun fact: that was actually Anthony Michael's Hall real family picking him up in that scene.
Oh, how touching,
isn't it?
Yeah. No, not buying it. Hated the film. Seriously, like, okay. We'll never get. I would rather go be in detention than be forced to watch that again.
So. Is that the end of your salvo?
Your Honor, I rest my case.
Give me a number 1 to 10, then, please, Miss Eckhart.
Oh, 2.
Okay. These notes brought to you by guttingthesacredcow.com, where every day you find some fantastic merchware like this. We see our smiling faces on it. Hilarious mugs like Kevin Israel has. Hats, cell phone holders, you name it, guttingthesacredcow.com. Be on the lookout. Our second live show is coming sooner, hopefully, than later. And of course, blog articles on guttingthesacredcow.com every day. And if you want to advertise with us, guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com. Notes. Open this locker, fag, and you die. I do miss locker graffiti. Always the hottest gossip was on locker graffiti, scribbled in black or red marker. For the aesthetic pleasing factor for that.
I didn't have any locker graffiti in my high school.
Really?
It wasn't a thing. No.
What's the best way to look rich without showing off your house or a bunch of money or riding a horse? A Burberry scarf in a tight shot. That's how you show you're rich. That is a hell of a library for a library for a high school. This is a trappings of a county library. Nice try, John Hughes. Hey, everybody. It's L.A. Deputy Dwayne Robinson from Die Hard as the principal. Is Saturday detention a thing? I never heard of it. And if I got it, I'd skip it and take the in-school suspension. I'll be goddamned if I ever gave up my Saturday morning cartoons for fucking Saturday detention.
Can I just say one thing?
Just one.
I like how Bender is like the bad boy, but he shows up for Saturday detention. It's right. you're so hardcore. Yeah. Okay. Look where you're at on a Saturday.
Well, let's see, because he has 2 months of detention after that too. So let's see if he follows through. Bender, Big J Ogerson, and Dice Clay are the last three dudes to wear fingerless gloves while not lifting weights. So here's how I think all these characters end up. Ally Sheedy moves to L.A. and dies in a snuff film. Emilio Estevez coaches high school football, teaches drama, and still drinks out of his Alf coffee mug. Molly Ringwald is twice divorced and has a vicious Chardonnay and Percocet habit as a fashion buyer for JCPenney's. And Anthony Michael Hall is a college professor of economics who writes a novel, and keeps a stable of female students giving him sex while getting an 8 out of 10 on a rateyourprofessor.com website. Judd Nelson, or as I call him, Hot Rod from the Transformers cartoon movie, Kevin Israel.
You got the touch.
You know it. And Rodimus Prime. What principal willingly accepts to do Saturday detention every week? That is a job for the new students, or new teachers, excuse me, or substitutes.
He makes $31,000 a year.
So why should he not? He should be passing that off to the peons of the school to do.
I looked it up. He was actually the vice principal.
Really? Because they said principal, because at first I thought he was a teacher. And then my wife goes, he's the principal. I go, he goes, well, he has his own office. I go, he could be borrowing an office. I don't know. But he has his name vice on principal. There, and it didn't say principal. Okay. Judd Nelson looks like that 24-year-old that comes to the loner slutty girl senior prom every year without fail. This is a bunch of white people horseshit, and this is coming from the whitest of white people, me. I've seen at least 4 Bender wannabes at open mics over the years in comedy. I'm sure you have too, Kevin.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot who said it, but someone said, eat my shorts. Was this a thing in the 80s and Bart Simpson just stole it from this?
Huh.
That caught me.
Yeah.
I set fire to a fair amount of things as a teenager. I was not a pyro. Set a lot of things as a teenager. Definitely not the ladies' loins, that's for sure. But my own shoe was something I never set fire to. I never felt the need to deface my own athletic footwear, especially the Sambas. They're pretty cool, weren't they, Kevin Israel?
Because again, it shows you how Hughes like looks as teenagers. Like, what's edgy for a teenager to do? Fire.
Yeah. Ally Sheedy must be on bath salts this film. Call me weird. That guy turned that card pretty well. Thank you.
Yeah, it did, actually. That's pretty good.
Call me weird, but I hated when Judd Nelson started ripping apart a book. There's a part of me that just, I hate when people do that, just start ripping apart books. All right, I'm a nerd. This whole film is one huge that doesn't happen.
Damn it.
I let you choose the first last time.
I have that verbatim.
Do you really?
Yes.
Well, wife, it's been a great marriage together, hasn't it? No one is having existential conversations in detention. Everyone is carving into the desk. The homecoming queen likes double anal, and that's pretty much our drawing tits and dicks on the desks. Remember how badass you were and scary you were if you carried a switchblade in the 80s? Sure, gang. Let's take requests to sing. Bridge Over the River Kwai. You got it. 2, 3, 4. Shut the fuck up. No one does that. One more that doesn't happen since you asked so kindly. Claire brings in a bento box of sushi. Sushi that's unrefrigerated and her and her own container of soy sauce. Not squirt packet. A goddamn ramekin. Or not a ramekin. A fucking like a little teapot. Little mini teapot of ramekin sauce. Just fucking stop it. We get it. She's high society. What, John Hughes? $1 million? Does it buy caviar for her to eat on a cracker? a sugar sandwich with cereal. We get it. She's quirky. Oh, the heavy-handedness in this film runs rampant. If The Usual Suspects is one of the best reveals of all time, Bender revealing that his dad beats him is the completely opposite end of the spectrum. As in, who didn't see that fucking coming? The stereotypical sliding down the hall, oh, we've seen that and done that a million times. You mean to tell me that he couldn't hear squealing sneakers? Michael Jordan couldn't stop on a dime without making a sound. What, these four assholes couldn't stop and not be seen or heard by the principal? Cut the horse shit. I make $31,000 and I have a home. I'm not giving it up. That's a lusty $82,000 he's bragging about. He doesn't have 45,000 shares of Amazon, guys. The way he's talked about it was such bravado and boisterousness about him. I said, I guess that's what the high end of living is over in Decatur, Illinois. The stakes in this film are horribly low. Smoking a joint in the library in the 80s is akin to getting a girl in high school an abortion in the 90s and bringing a gun into school in the 2000s. Judd Nelson and Rob Lowe look eerily similar. One has longer hair. The other one fucks 15-year-olds on video in a motel room. And for the biggest, that doesn't fucking happen. Emilio Estevez takes two hits of weed and he's jumping around like he fell face first into Tony Montana's mountain of cocaine and Scarface. That doesn't happen. Weed doesn't work like that. You don't hop around like a fucking coked out. You don't hop around like Dwight Gooden in the 86 World Series when you fucking take two hits of weed. And then to punctuate the insanity, he screams and shatters glass like he's a mezzo soprano or Michael Jackson in the Scream video he did. Are you kidding? He screams and shatters glass. There is a Confederate flag in the library when you see Emilio Estevez dancing around all hopped up like his brother Charlie Sheen just told him, hey, Emilio, I got you two hookers just because it's, you know, Sunday. But there is a Confederate flag hanging up. I saw that. And paused it to make sure. Huh. And it was. And Illinois, part of the Union in the Civil War. A little history for all you folks. Finally, we get to an interesting part of the film, the slut versus tease conversation. That actually works. Taped together Larry so-and-so's buns. What's that go for in the S&M dungeon, Kevin Israel? $250, $500? What's the price point on that?
Depends on the day.
Fair. Finally, some pathos when Estevez does feel bad for the taping of butt cheeks. Taping of Butt Cheeks sounds like the title of like the latest James Patterson novel. Vernon doesn't come in when they're all yelling at each other. How timely. Got to have that exposition there, right, kids? I forgot the nerd brought a flare gun in there. I like the twist when you thought he was going to go all Columbine in that shit.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a flare gun. I go, oh, that was all right. I'll give that clever. That was cute. That was clever. Ally Sheedy and another. That doesn't happen. I didn't have anything better to do. That's fucking horseshit. I'd rather mow my parents' lawn for $25.
And the principal didn't call her out on it.
Exactly. I mean, I don't think they didn't.
I actually laughed out loud when she said that.
Yeah.
We're like, really? Nothing?
The best part of the film? The soundtrack by A Country Mile. Sure, dancing together in the library after screaming at each other for a good 45 minutes is a really believable moment. Next thing you know, they're going to start dating each other at the end of the movie. Whoops, here we are. There is no payoff or consequence when Warner goes through the confidential files. Why is he going through them? What is he looking for? No, and the janitor catches him. There is no punishment. There's no stakes. Are there any stakes? Excuse me. And January kind of said this, obviously, but I'm supposed to believe Molly Ringwald and Bender got together. And then here's a real that doesn't happen moment. They start sucking face in front of Molly Ringwald's dad as he waits in the car. Bullshit.
On the car. Yeah. Like, leaning on the car.
Yeah.
My dad would be like, all right. Yeah.
Guess, I have an extendable baton in my car. Guess who's coming out of that car, baton in hand, and going to crack this guy in the jaw with a mouthful of broken teeth fast? Me.
You're going to be cracking skulls, actually.
Yeah. Wastoid. Nothing alluded to the title of The Breakfast Club during this film. How did they come to that title? Why? Are they having breakfasts? Are they now a club? Again, this is the movie title was set before the film. Well, Jen Eckhardt, I'm loath to give you any credit, but fuck, this film does indeed suck. I never liked this film. As I said before in this podcast a million times, I love John Hughes and I hate John Hughes. Pretty in Pink is so fucking terrible. We did it on this very podcast. Juliette Miranda did it, and at a very above average job she did as well. That film's terrible. I love Planes, Trains. I love Uncle Buck. I hate this film. I hate 16 Candles. What other ones am I missing, Kevin Israel? This is a bunch of, again, I hate saying this, but it's a bunch of white people fuckery nonsense. No, stop it. Stop it.
Nor- that is perfect.
Thank you.
That's the perfect way to describe it.
It's such shenanigans.
Can I quote Full Metal Jacket? It's a huge shit sandwich, right, and we're all just going to have to take a bite. That's how I felt sitting down watching this. I was like, God.
You're the first person to quote Full Metal Jacket after the sergeant kills himself, because the first half of that film is amazing. The second half of that film is a fucking slog.
I love the shit sandwich quote.
My favorite quote is where he tells Private Pyle, I'm going to cut your balls off so you can't contaminate the rest of the world. That quote is perfect. I think this film is trash, and my score of a 2 out of 10 says so. Kevin Israel, the floor is yours.
Well, GKG. You took all of my notes. You took all of my notes. So here's the thing. As a 45-year-old guy, watching a movie about high school angst is really tough. Because high school is...
You have problems.
Thanks, Jen. So high school being so far in the rearview mirror, but we never forget about those experiences. Right. But you start to really be able to kind of gauge the magnitude of what you took so seriously, and looking at all that stuff and thinking how they were all so upset about their lives and it was so hard. And it's like, you know what? Be on the verge of missing a mortgage payment. Like, you know, like have trouble conceiving a child. Don't whine to me that your parents put a lot of pressure on you so you go to a good college, you obnoxious fuck. Well, like, you're all going to sit there.
I hate to interrupt you for 1 second. When was the first time you saw this film, Kev?
Oh, I have no idea.
I'm going to assume at least after, not that long after high school, if not during high school, right?
I probably saw it after high school.
I hated it when I first saw it too. I go, and again, recently removed, or even in high school. Again, I forgot when I saw it, but even my first watch, I'm like, this fucking sucks. So it's not like,
sure, And again, I'm not defending this as a movie, but I'm just saying when you're trying to sell a movie to an audience that looks at the real core of this movie is about how hard these kids' lives are and how they find commonality amongst their very different versions of suffering. But as an adult, just looking at it and saying that was just my initial reaction to watching it again. I haven't watched this whole movie through. To be honest, I don't know that I ever watched this movie all the way through. Because at the end, I looked at my wife and I was like, is this when he puts his fist in the air? Like, I couldn't even, like, I knew that, like, that iconic moment, but I wasn't even sure.
I kept looking at my phone and I kept having, because it was just so uninteresting to me that I had to, like, rewind. Seriously, I don't want to get, like, yelled at by, like, Kevin Goatee, like, you didn't watch the movie from start to finish. Like, you know.
Well, listen, we would have known if you would have. But no, this is an hour and a half long film, and I hit the display button 4 to 5 times.
I had to watch it in 2 sittings.
Did you really? I mean,
I turned it off at like an hour 5, and I was like, I'll finish the next 26 minutes or whatever it was tomorrow. The movie really feels like a short story that somebody was like, we're going to drag this out into a movie. Because I get it, and it's. Like, yeah, you know, all these kids, you know, sharing their moments of suffering and, you know, bonding and whatever, fine. But they beat the point to death so badly. And all they can do is just reinforce the stereotypes of each of these kids. And it's just so boring. Like, we get it. The jock is a jock. And the popular girl is a popular girl. And the nerd is a nerd. And there's just nothing interesting about them beyond their two-dimensional character archetypes that they create. And so then when you get to, there's really no like climax in this movie. There's no moment where you're like, oh, this is it. Like, it just all kind of, everything just sort of happens and then they walk away from it. Even the relationships that are formed, which just felt like he didn't know what to do. And he's like, well, There's two girls, two guys, and a nerd. The two girls and the two guys are getting together because there was very little chemistry, I thought, between Ringwald and Judd Nelson. And I almost think it robbed the two characters of what they were trying to build up by the fact that they ended up in a relationship. Like, it was like, that's what they had to do. They couldn't have some other, like, Judd Nelson couldn't say, nah, fuck you, I'm staying the way I am. Instead, he fell for her. And then even more ridiculous was Estevez and what's her name getting together. Cause that was, there was no chemistry there. Like, there was nothing. She just walks out and is a little bit prettier. And he's like, oh shit, I have a boner now. I gotta go out with you. Like, where did that, the last, she said she eats with her feet. That fucking, I don't care if she came out and she looked like Pam Anderson. I'd be like, listen, you foot eater. I'm not touching you, you weirdo.
Was it she writes with her feet? I think it was she writes with her feet.
And then she said, I can eat with my feet. I can play piano with my feet. She listed a whole, trust me, Jen, people talk about their feet.
That's Kevin's wheelhouse right there, is feet talk. I've heard this song and dance many a time. I know.
It's disgusting.
I agree, though.
Yeah. You know, I'm on Wiki Feet. Wiki Feet. Did you guys even know that's a thing?
Oh, I've heard of it.
No, because we're not weirdos.
Thank you. you don't frequent, oh, that's right. Okay. It's just, what, Pornhub for you?
Just keep it good and vanilla.
Yeah. Wait. What do you mean you're on WikiFeet? Someone took a picture of your feet and posted it on there?
When you are a famous public figure, which I'm not, but seriously though, I don't know how, why, but apparently there's some guy out there who runs this website and uploads like cute chick's feet and like they.
How did you get on?
It's like Mr. He's negging her. It's like Mr. Skin for feet.
I have missed appearing on this show, man.
So do you get any follow up from those people when they said, "Hey, I saw your feet over on Wiki Feet or whatever the hell it's called"? What's did they try and hit you up with inside of the DMs or some shit like that?
Come to think of it, you know, I do have a 4 out of 5 rating. I ought to start to try to monetize this somehow, right?
Show Kevin Israel your feet. Let's see what he gives.
Please do not. please do not. I just ate. Anywho, I see all this foot talk is really throwing me off my game now.
Sorry.
The movie ends and it's nobody cares. Like the interesting point in the movie is when the nerd asks, I didn't even take Brian, I think was his name, makes the point, like, what's going to happen on Monday? Are we going to be friends on Monday? Like, that to me was the most interesting conversation.
Breakfast, because they were the breakfast club.
Right.
What I thought.
But that was like, we just spent all this time together. Like, what's going to happen? Like, that was kind of the most honest moment. And then Claire, you know, said no. And I was like, oh, this is going to be like an interesting. And then that didn't even go anywhere. Mm-hmm. That to me was the moment in the movie that this whole movie was building up to. And then it just kind of just deflated. Like, everything just didn't, nothing happened. Like, it felt like things were going to happen. Like, when Bender was like, I'm going to distract the principal so you guys can get back. And he's like sacrificing himself, you know, nothing really happened with it. Like, he falls through the ceiling or whatever. The whole movie was just like a big nothing burger. Like, it was just so boring and dull. And then the soundtrack pissed me off. I hated all those songs.
Did you really?
Yeah, I hate all of those songs. And
also, why do they have to drag David Bowie into this? Did you guys catch that Bowie quote?
Oh, here's why. Because Ali Sheedy, when I was doing the research, I saw this too. She loved Bowie, and she said that quote popped out, and she championed for it to be in the opening monologue.
Huh. He is way too cool to belong.
Yes, much too cool. And also, I really don't like Molly Ringwald, but we covered me that neither. Pretty in Pink or whatever movie we watched of hers that also sucked. I'm going to leave it at that. This is just a horseshit movie. people have made iconic because the actors at the time were big and they all want to remember being in high school when they thought they were better looking, but they're actually little pieces of shit. This movie stinks too.
All cannons emptied. All fuck.
Wait. One more point. I'm sorry. You can do a high school movie right.
I really hope Molly listens to this episode, by the way.
Who's Molly?
You can do. Oh, she better not listen to this podcast because she's going to be very upset.
You can do high school movie. Like Ferris Bueller's Day Off was a good high school movie.
Yep.
Like it captured high school. It captured, you know, sitting in the class, being bored, all the kids knowing the popular kids, the sister hating her little brother, like all that stuff. You can do it and you can make it relevant and you can make it relatable even to an older audience. This didn't do that. And it was the same guy. Like he clearly had the ability, but instead he made this horse shit. Anyway, I'm done.
Number
two.
We all said two. We're all agreeing.
Is that Deuces Wild? Oh boy. Yeah. Wow. Jen, you sure thought you were going to come on here and face an uphill battle. Little did you know that this is running downhill. This film stinks. I blame Bill Schultz. He's starting to figure out.
Oh no, come on. It was this or Groundhog Day.
Critics. 5-star reviews. Critics. 5-star reviews. Critics. 5-star reviews.
Critics, 5-star reviews. Hughes once again sensationally captures the feel of adolescent rebellion and nonconformity with both timeless severity and laugh out loud dialogue.
Ugh, shut up.
This is the same person who definitely pronounces the word adult as adults, not adult. Adults. That batted one for two. Jen liked it. Kevin didn't. The late John Hughes' finest hour. He didn't have many, despite a prolific output. Excuse me. The Breakfast Club was the best of the so-called Brat Pack features, as well as a seminal film for many who came of age in the 80s. Is it though? I mean, Israel, we were 10 when this nine. I was nine when this came out. I mean, we're at the very end. I know we're on the cusp. What?
I wasn't even born. Sorry, I had to just
we
throw
do. It. We know. We've covered that.
Was this so like a powerful film like 80s? Oh, Breakfast Club. That's the Diary
yeah,
of Our Lives.
I mean, I think it was. I think in the 80s, you know, 5 years before our kind of moment, it was a big. All those movies were a big deal.
You know, it's a real piece of shit that I saw once, and I won't watch it. You ever see Saint Elmo's Fire? Good God, that's terrible.
I do like the song.
I do too. I love the song.
The movie absolutely does terrible.
Next one. The film is an extraordinarily well-blended mix of humor, heartbreak, and anger as each character displays a pantheon of raw emotions.
That's an SAT word.
Yeah. I almost hope they had the word zeitgeist after this to complete the trifecta. Hughes may deserve more plaudits as a social worker than a filmmaker, but you have to admit his hokey situation plays. The reason is the five terrific young actors who bring more conviction to these parts than perhaps they deserve. Now, get your Burger King crown out for the fucking major douche nozzle of the week. Molière's famous work, Tartuffe, is about a pious fraud who turns out to be criminal. The joke is that Bender is a criminal fraud who turns out to be pious. Yes, childish and pedantic. You ever see like the picture of somebody and just know you're gonna look at them and hate them? Like I hate when I see like dudes with the snarkiest kind of bow ties, but they wear their glasses down on their nose or the bridge of their nose and look down at you and get that half like pained, like I'm a tortured soul smile. That's the kind of person I envision when I think of this review. Critics, 1-star reviews.
Critics, 1-star reviews. Critics, 1-star reviews.
While meticulously drawn, the film's characters are so stereotypically representative that the only lamest of moviegoers will not determine the respective backgrounds and problems long before the plotting movie does. Mm-hmm. Huh? That review was kind of plotting, I thought.
Quite.
Does director John Hughes really believe, as he writes here, that when you grow up, your heart dies? It may, but not unless the brain has already started to rot with films like these. Zing! Cue slide whistle sound effect. Nothing really changes. You hear nothing you haven't heard before, but you know that for them, it is happening for the first time, and they deserve compassion. I'm not sure that's a good enough reason to see The Breakfast Club. White People Fuckery, Chapter 1. Thank you.
Sorry, I just love that. I love that description.
Does director John Hughes really believe? Sorry, copy and paste that again. Amazon 5-star reviews.
5-star reviews. Amazon 5-star reviews.
When I told my son that his school is identical to my school back in the 80s, he scoffed as teenagers do. I would scoff too because his school has high-speed internet. We had Oregon Trail.
I try not to scoff.
Yeah. I asked him if he ever saw Breakfast Club. He said he heard of it, but never saw it. Parentheses. Mom gets on her Amazon app and immediately orders the Blu-ray with one click. You could have just got it on Prime for $4. Jesus Christ. A few days later, it arrives in the mail. I hand it over to my son and he says, here is your school in movie form. With a scoff and eye roll added for effect, he trudges upstairs and I hear it tossed on his desk. Fast forward to a Sunday and he's bored. He's great. He graces us with his presence that Sunday afternoon. And it looks like that he's had an epiphany. Mom, you're right. That movie is exactly like my school. Some moms are right. It happens. And I said, really? No kidding. Because that was my high school.
Oh my God.
Oh, so your mom went to school with a bunch of vapid characters that no one gives two shits about? Sounds like mom was Molly Ringwald's a knockoff. My wife wanted to watch this with our kids because she remembered loving it so much as a kid and wanted them to see it so they would enjoy it as well. As we got into it, we remember that the 80s were a different time for movies than they are now, as people are able to get away with a whole lot more. I disagree. I think you're able to get away with a whole lot less. And she had forgotten completely about the joint scene where they all got high. That might be. What's that?
Go ahead, Jack.
Your Euphoria. I don't know if anybody's watching that on HBO Max. No. They pretty much do everything in high school there. Anyway, continue.
That may be fine for most of the country right now, but I'm not going to encourage my children to do drugs myself. They've got the rest of the world to do that. Signed, Bobby Brown. As a rule, I do not watch movies more than once, as it is incredibly annoying and feels like such a waste of time. This one, however, I will watch over and over, not back to back, mind you. I never tire of this one. I've seen it so many times that I've memorized every line. It's an awesome story. Well, why would you memorize every line if it's such a waste of time?
And it rhymes.
Yeah, I could turn it back on you, dickhead. How could anyone not like this movie? The 80s did a lot of things right. Fashion, food, music, and movies. I got to pause. Fashion. What was so 80s that came out food-wise that blew your socks off? Are you a fan of the Pizza Hut stuffed crust cheese pizza? You troglodyte? Editorial. Particularly teen and romance films. If you don't pump your fist at the end of this film along Judd Nelson, then somewhere you miss something. It really might seem simple and pointless, but the underlining epic library dance, weed, sexual innuendos, and all-out teen drama. I wouldn't say innuendos. I'd say he's pretty fucking clear in his desire to put his dick inside Molly Ringwald. I don't know why, but he still was very clear in his methods and desires. By the way, I'd rather pump the woman from This Is Us before I pump my fist for this movie. Chrissy Metz. Okay, never mind.
I love her. Don't go there, Kev.
Oh, we're supposed to believe that dude who's a dude, like jacked, good-looking dude, is with Chrissy Metz. If we're going to go play the role along of Molly Ringwald and What's-His-Face, we can go along that road, too. You roll your eyes because I'm right and you're stuck in a corner without a comeback.
I love that show, This Is Us. I love Chris Ed, so I have nothing to add, nothing to say.
No, I never watch. I just see the previews and I go, wait, what? No, stop it. Stop it. Amazon.
White fuckery.
Should call back. Amazon 1-star reviews.
Amazon 1-star reviews. Amazon 1-star reviews. Amazon 1-star reviews. Amazon, once our reviews.
I forgot this movie has a ton of foul language. I think I remember the TV version in my mind. I won't run it again.
Oh my.
Did not come with, wait, this one, I'm so evil for laughing at it, but I still fucking laughed. Did not come with the digital code. Very disappointing because I rely on those because I'm unable to put in a disc as I'm bedridden.
Jeez.
Sign Larry Flint. bedridden. I can't. You can't take a broom.
No, that's probably watching like this movie.
You mean you can't tell me you can't do the old Steven Seagal Hard to Kill where he takes a broom and fucking uses the broom to paddle himself out of the room when after he wakes from the coma? Don't shake your head like you don't know Hard to Kill, Jen. Oh, wait, it did come out the year we were born, 1990. Next. I couldn't finish this movie. The overt sexual harassment was unwatchable. I don't care if John gets a redemption arch later. Trash. Signed, Kevin Spacey. Arch. Waited 30 years to see it. Should have waited another. Waited 30 years to see it. Should have waited another 80. So that means you were. Math's not going to add up on this one, is it there? Isn't there, fella? Never show teenagers this movie. In fact, never show adults. Because of the R rating, it's not for teens, even though it's about teenagers. Every student has bad parents. That's crap. Judd Nelson wasn't good for the role because he looked about 30. Emilio Estevez squeaked by in the sense of age, like he repeated 12th grade. Sexual harassment is very evident in this movie, even though a 16-year-old probably shouldn't be thinking more about it. Cue it up, Kevin. The language is so bad in this movie. Like John Hughes decided to change the English language into swear words for just this movie alone. I looked up the script for this file for this movie on an SRT file. It has 28 F words in it. And I'm not including the other bad words in innuendo. Innuendo is not the word. Sometimes it's just out there. 28 F words. I want them to watch Django Unchained and then keep count. 28. I forgot they rated this R. I thought Hughes only did PG or PG-13 films.
This was R?
It was. See, I had the same reaction. Oh, wait. Huh. So was Planes, Trains because of the one scene. Last one. So John Hughes knows all teenagers, huh? So why are all of them the most disrespectful, idiotic, rebellious pieces of dog meat to ever walk the earth? I was a teenager. I know what it was like. And this movie isn't it. It's garbage. Just walk away. And when they walk away, should they raise their fists in the air too? Ah! Never leaves me hanging. That's my boy, Kevin Israel. Speaking of, did Jen Eckhart gut the sacred cow?
Jen, there was a lot of pressure put on you because of your last performance and trying to undertake a movie that most people with a soul love. And you come back, and unfortunately, you did it. I think you got this cow. But again, I also think this was a bit of an easy one. I think our guests, I think you've said it before, Kev. I think our guests are on to the formula. We need to come up with a twist.
Well, Bill Schultz is the one who fucking spewed this formula into her ear and goes, I know what these guys like. He's been on the show, seven or eight times now?
I could have done Groundhog Day too, just saying.
I think this was more fun. It was funny. When I did Donna Vaisel's show, she was like, what's the movie coming up? I go, we're doing The Breakfast Club. And her and she's going to kill me. I forgot her co-host name. I blanked. They were both incredulous. Like, what? She's going to
Breakfast Club? It's a conversation piece. It pisses people. I find that you either have people on one side of the spectrum or the other. They either love it or they hate it.
Like, they're artistic or they're not artistic. Which one? Yeah, this film is indefensible. I don't know why do people like it so much? You have to ask them that question. Why do you like it so much? And if they say the word nostalgia at any point in their argument, they're done. That's it. Over. Well, I saw it when I was in high school in the theater. We cut class to go see it one Friday after. There you go. Done. That's it. Done.
Agreed.
Jen Eckhart.
I got in the cow.
Well, let's be honest, Jen. Much like some of these other films, the cow already had the noose around its neck. Three of the legs on the chair were broken. It was that fourth leg that needed kicking out, and you kicked out the fourth and final leg.
There you were.
Just give me the victory.
You have the victory. Is it an overwhelming victory? No. It's someone fumbled on the 1 yard line. He picked up and fell into the end zone for the touchdown. Good for you. Speaking of falling into the end zone, why don't you tell us what you're up to, where we can find you, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, well, like you two fine gentlemen, I launched a podcast of my own called called Reinvented with Jen Eckhart. It's available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Although Spotify is, I feel like people are canceling Spotify now. I'm not
going anywhere
on Spotify. Wherever you listen, have had really great guests on. I'm bringing on people from all walks of life who are just like on various journeys of reinventing themselves. You know, Sean Paul, Kathy Ireland, Travis Pastrana, Chris Jericho, Patricia Heaton, Melissa Rivers, getting a lot of interesting names on with really cool stories. You know, whether they've been, you know, they were alcoholics or they got sick or, you know, just took a different career trajectory in life. I mean, just such interesting stories. So yeah, listen, it's a pretty fun show. I have a lot of fun with it. Good I mean, of course I don't have as much fun with it as coming on with you guys.
Obviously.
Right.
Well, it always warms the cockle of our hearts to hear that. Kevin Israel.
KevinIsrael.com for upcoming comedy dates. They are slowly trickling in as we forge our way out of this pandemic. So come laugh, enjoy, and live a normal life once again. And in the meantime, while you're still sitting at home wondering what you can do, you can go on your podcast platform of choice and leave us a 5-star rating and a quick sentence review. Kevin Goatee likes to feature some of the best, and he does, and people love seeing him. So if you want to be featured by us, all you got to do is go to wherever you're listening to us right now and say something nice. Is it that hard? Because we didn't say anything nice about this movie, but we'd like you to say something nice about us.
Well, that was actually a perfect fortune cookie that I wish we could just frame on our wall. That was perfect. I love the those reads. KevinGoatee.com for all shenanigans, tomfoolery, and debauchery, picks, dates, all that good stuff. And of course, guttingthesacredcow.com, blogs, that doesn't happen. The merch shop where you can pick up more mugs, hats, bags, whatever the hell it's hoodies. We even have those too. It's tis the season for cold weather. And of course, to advertise guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com. Don't forget, smash that subscribe button on the YouTube page for us. It does help. But most importantly, thank you for giving us an hour and change or whatever it is of your time every week. We love hearing from you. We love Ask a Gutter. We love interacting with you guys. You guys helped us double our listenership from last year. That's amazing. And already on pace in January, you're kicking ass. Thank you for telling all your friends and all that stuff. It truly makes us happy as pigs in shit. Or if we could just call it Molly Ringwald and shit, as Jen would say. Thank you very much. All right, guys. Thanks again. See you later.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.